Hello there and welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. It is a pleasure to be here with you as this week we're going to look at the mass readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I have to tell you, the message today is a bit of a tough one. I call it all or nothing. And this is, as I read through these readings today for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, that's what really just jumped off the page at me. And believe me, this is a tough message because, you know, many of us have committed our lives to Christ. As Christians, we have intentionally said, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. You are my Lord. And whatever you say, Lord, goes. But are we really giving him everything? And, you know, I got to tell you, there are many times when I am not giving him everything as much as I should. Sure, I'm giving him something, but am I giving him all? And that's what he's asking for. And again, it's a tough message, but this is what really, you're going to hear it today as I read these readings. He wants our all. He wants everything. He wants us to be all in for him, not just part of the way, you know, not just on Sunday, not just when it feels good, not just when things in our lives are going well, but he wants us to put him first and to give him our best all the time. And again, I'm going to tell you, this is not easy for me, and I fail at this quite often. And so I'm very thankful for the sacrament of confession. I really am. But I think it's a good message for us to hear. And the beautiful thing about Scripture and the way the Lord speaks through Scripture is the fact that he doesn't necessarily tell us what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear. And that's why Scripture can be a dynamic, living, breathing voice of the Lord, the Word of God. And not just a book that was written thousands of years ago. The Bible is unlike any book we've ever read because the Lord speaks to us through the Bible. And I pray that some of that's going to come across today. And he's speaking to me today, no doubt about it. So if I'm directing this to you, believe me, I'm directing it to myself as well. So let's get ready. Let's look at these readings now. Before we do, as we always do on the show, we're going to pray. I'm going to invite you to settle in, and then we'll talk more about it. And again, it's not an easy message, but it's one that's doable, or else he wouldn't have said it. And I think that's what I need to remind myself of. So many times in Scripture, I hear a message which appears to be tough. It even almost appears to be impossible at times. Oh, Lord, I can't do this. You know me, Lord, I'm too weak. But it is possible. But it's something that, you know, you and I, and you might be a lot better at this than I am, but at least speaking for myself, a message like this is something I'm going to be working on probably in all likelihood for the rest of my life. You know, he's not asking for perfection. He's asking me to give it my best shot. And that's the main thing, to try my best with the help of his grace to pick myself up when I fail, and then to try again. And that's what he's asking for. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer as we begin the program. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being here with us right now. I know that you are here with us. I know that you can see us. I know that you can hear us. I know that you love us. Father, I know, I don't always feel it, but I know that you are bigger than any problem I could ever face. All the challenges that any of us can face in life are not challenges for you. Help us to remember that, Father. Give us that confidence to turn to you in prayer, knowing that you wouldn't ask us to do the impossible. Yes, maybe impossible for me, but not impossible with your help. So, Father, we praise you for all that you have done throughout history and in our lives. We praise you for all the amazing things that we have seen in the course of salvation history. We praise you for your unconditional love. We praise you for your ability to be in all places at one time. We praise you for never giving up on us. Father, thank you for speaking to us through the scriptures. For all the times we failed to listen to you, we just want to say we're sorry. With the help of your grace, we're going to try to do better now. And we ask you to open our minds, open our hearts, so that when we hear the message on today's show, we'll be willing to put it into practice in our lives. I ask you, Father, to give me the words so that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. And I ask you, Father, to bless all of our friends, all of our family members, anybody that's asked for our prayers or anybody for whom we promised to pray. We pray for those who are hurting, those who are lonely, those who are grieving, those who are discouraged or hopeless or suicidal even. We pray for the United States. We pray for those around the world who are struggling from any number of different things. We pray that peace can be restored around the world, especially in the Middle East. We pray for the souls in purgatory. And we pray for our church, that our church can continue to attract more and more people and remain a source of comfort and truth for those who are in need. Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Thank you for joining me on the program. It does mean a lot when you and I can get together like this. Again, if you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimek, and I'm so pleased to be able to do this with you each week for 30 minutes. If you want to find out more about my work, please direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. You'd find out about my books. You could find out how to invite me to your parish or to your conference to speak. You can also sign up for my daily email reflection. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If you want to contact me, you can do it through the website, followingthetruth.com, or you can just email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All righty, let's get ready to do this. I'm going to take a sip of my water so we can get started. All or nothing. Again, tough message. But one that causes us all to think, you know, and that's what it means to, you know, as followers of Christ. He's calling us to follow him. And he understands that we are weak, that we all have issues. So it's hard for us to break free from the temptation to the world. But at the same time, the Lord's not just going to say, okay, You're weak, you're struggling with sin, you're struggling with just love of comfort, you're struggling with all these other problems. It's okay, don't worry about it. No, he's going to say, I understand. However, I don't want to just leave you there. I want to lift you. I want to lift you above where you are right now. I want to lift you higher. That's what the Lord says to us, and it's a comforting message. So with that in mind, let's look at the gospel. We begin with the gospel as we always do for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Now, if you notice here, the scholar of the law who is approaching Jesus asking What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He's got all the answers. He's got all the answers. He said to Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is coming from the man who was asking the question. So he knows the facts. And Jesus replies, good job. You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now, the gospel continues because there's more to it than just this. But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back. Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, the one who treated him with mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now here, look, so here we have a story of a Samaritan. Now the Samaritans were enemies of the Jews. The Jews didn't like Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews. They didn't want anything to do with each other. They were serious enemies. And we have in this parable that Jesus tells, we have a man who got robbed and he was injured. And a priest was going down the road, somebody who should know the law of the Lord, right? He crossed by on the other side. A Levite, somebody who also should know the law, a religious man, when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler, a guy who shouldn't know better in terms of religion, right? He was not a Christian, he was a Gentile. A Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. And what did he do? He took care of this guy. He showed mercy on the injured man. And Jesus said to this man, he asked him a question, of these three, in your opinion, which was neighbor to the victim of the robbers? Who treated this man as a neighbor? And the man who asked the original question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, answered, the one who treated him with mercy. And Jesus said, yes, go and do likewise. What is mercy? Mercy is love in action, basically. When love encounters suffering and does something about it, that's mercy. And that's what's happening here. So we see a case where it's more than just knowing the facts. It's knowing them and putting them into practice. In other words, giving God your all, loving him with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind. It's more than just knowing the facts, the commandments, right? That would be loving him with your mind. Yes, Lord, I know this is what you want me to do. I love your word, Lord. I love what your commandments, absolutely. But are we putting them into practice? And again, I'm going to speak for myself. Not always. Quite often, not as much as I should. Because there's always something that gets in the way. I'm too busy. This person wasn't nice to me. I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to get involved. You know, there are any number of reasons why I can choose to not really give the Lord my best. Now, let me back up and look at this first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 10 through 14. And let's see if we can find the connection. Moses said to the people, if only you would heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. There's that word all again. Right? And Moses isn't just saying, know what's in the commandments. Not just know them, but put them into practice. With all your heart and all your soul. And the reading goes on to state, for this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out? Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out? No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You only have to carry it out. See what Moses is saying to the people? You already know the answer. You know, that Samaritan traveler knew the answer. He knew what mercy was. He knew who his neighbor was. And he helped his neighbor in need. You know, we might know the facts. We might know the commandments. We might know what the church teaches on everything. But are we living it? Are we putting it into practice? Now, please, don't take this the wrong way. I'm just trying to relay the message. Believe me, the Lord's speaking to me, too. He's speaking to me primarily right now. This is giving me plenty to think about. And it's making me uncomfortable, too, because I realize I fail at this so often. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 69. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor. O God, in your great kindness, answer me with your constant help. Answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness. In your great mercy, turn toward me. I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad, you who seek God. May your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall inhabit it. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. You know, one of the, as I'm looking at this responsorial psalm, the response and the verse, one thing is really catching my eye. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurned not. If you, like me, are struggling with this message, the message of love the Lord with everything you got, don't just know the facts, but put them into practice every day, not just on Sunday, not just with your minds, but with your hearts and with your actions, your body as well. If you're struggling with this idea, it's hard. You know, for some of us, we look at this and we say, oh my gosh, I can never do this. I'm not going to be able to carry this out. Precisely. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. You know, make my heart come to life. Make me care about this. Because every one of our actions and every one of our words begins with either a feeling or a thought of some kind, right? So as we're walking down the street, seeing the person in need, the person beaten by the robbers and left to die, as we saw in the parable in the gospel, we pray that our hearts will respond in the same way that the Samaritan traveler's heart responded. This guy needs help. I need to help this person. You know? And there's times when it's not possible. I get that. You know, there are times when what we're going to have to do is just say a prayer. Because either we can't get involved or there's nothing we can do or we just don't have the time. I mean, that's going to happen. And in that case, at least say a prayer for the individual or individuals who might be in need. But are there times when we can do more? Hey, this is going to be a case-by-case thing. You know, and it's not always just taking care of people in need. About how about our duty to God? How about loving him with all of our heart? our mind and our soul? How often are we praying? Are we just skipping our prayers every day? Are we doing a little spiritual reading, or are we watching TV? That's a battle for me all the time. Because I can honestly say I do some spiritual reading every day, and a lot of times I have to force myself to do it because I don't feel like it. You know, as a priest told me one time in confession, I really like this. I said, you know, Father, I struggle with daydreaming. Sometimes I'll start out praying, and then before you know it, I'm just sitting there daydreaming. And he said, daydreaming's easy. Prayer is hard work. You know, I think that was a great piece of advice. It is hard work. It's hard work to turn off the TV and to pray when we don't feel like it. And look, I relax too. I listen to music. I watch some TV. I do some non-spiritual reading. Not everything is religion-based with me. But I want to make sure that I'm giving the Lord what he deserves. And I'm never going to give him all that I deserve because I can never possibly repay him for all he's done for me. But I want to make sure I'm at least giving him the best that I can give him at that particular point in time. That's one of the reasons I do most of my reading and praying, serious praying in the morning, because that's when it's my best time. If I waited until I was about to go to sleep, the Lord wouldn't get much at all. So, you know, it's a matter of choosing. Am I going to choose my entertainment, or am I going to choose giving the Lord my prayers? And again, it's going to be a day-to-day decision. It's going to be different for each one of us. Sometimes it's going to be a battle. Sometimes we'll do it when we don't want to do it. And that's okay. You know, faith isn't about feelings. Faith is about love. It's about choosing to do the right thing for God and for our neighbor. So look at the second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things. You notice how that word is appearing again? And in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. You know, it's amazing how that word all comes into play so many times in this second reading, as well as in all of the readings today. And, you know, if you're looking for an example of somebody who gave his all for God the Father, all you need to do is look at Jesus. And this very first verse of this second reading, Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you want to learn about God, and if you want to know how to act in a way that would please God, all you need to do is look at Jesus. Look at what he did and look at what he said. And the Gospels are the primary source of that information. That's why the Gospels are so important according to the church. Because it's through the Gospels that we learn about and encounter Jesus. So when we're looking for an example, you know, a lot of times we need a role model, or we want to look up to somebody. Jesus is our ultimate role model when it comes to how should we respond to our Heavenly Father. How do I know if I'm giving my all? Obviously, Jesus gave his all. We see so many times he was tired. The people found him when he was seeking to rest. He gave his life on the cross. You know, so many things he did out of love of God, his Father, and out of love for you and me. He's our role model. Are we going to equal him? No. But can we try? Absolutely. And with the help of his grace, it's possible. Try to go to confession as often as you can, because you're going to not only be forgiven your sins will be forgiven, but you will also receive the grace to become more Christ-like, to fight against the inclination we all have as humans to fall into sin. The grace we receive in confession is incredibly powerful. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. I'm going to encourage you to just keep trying. I will pray for you. Please pray for me. You know, this all or nothing thing, that's what the Lord's looking for. He's not looking for half-hearted Christians. He's not looking for Sunday Christians. He wants Christians who really give him their all, the best they have. And again, that's the goal. That's what we should aspire toward. Even if we don't achieve it, we should keep trying. Because the most dangerous thing we can do in life is just to stop trying. You know what? I'm never going to be a good person, so I might as well stop. No, that's what the devil wants you to believe. That's not what Jesus wants you to believe. So let's make sure we know the facts about our faith. That's important. But also that we put them into practice. Really loving the Lord with all that we have. Okay, does that sound good? I know it's tough. I know it's tough, but look, it's good. It's good that we know this now. Because this shouldn't come as a surprise when we are judged at the end of our life, right? We don't want that to be a surprise. The Lord's telling us now. Now's the time to work on this. So we'll try to do it together. Hey, if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm not sure I mentioned this recently in the past few weeks, but I am dependent upon your donations to keep my ministry going. So if you enjoy the program, if you enjoy my work, if you want to help me out and keep this program on the air and keep my ministry going, please consider going to my website, followingthetruth.com, and making a donation. You can do that securely online, okay, through the website, followingthetruth.com. I'm praying for you. Again, pray for me, please. And God willing, I plan to be back here next week for another episode of the program as we look at the readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Have a great week. Thanks again. God bless you.